May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We meet on the 25th of April, and of course, as we've heard, we do that for a reason. It was, again, as we've heard, just a little over 100 years ago and before dawn on the 25th of April that troops from Australia, New Zealand, and Britain landed in Gallipoli. One New Zealander who was there wrote, "It looked like a huge boating picnic, in ideal picnic weather. Ships, boats, and all sorts of vessels going to and fro, those coming out waving hats and cheering." There's some understatement going on there, to put it mildly. It's not entirely an accurate memory. The boats coming back were actually full of wounded soldiers, because from the first, this was a very bloody battle, with astonishing bravery on both sides of the conflict. So bravery and bloodshed are part of the story we tell today. And we must notice that remembering is a tricky business. Remembering matters, but it's not very easy. Let me tell you briefly about my grandfather, Harry Whitehead Ashworth. He fought in the First World War, not at Gallipoli. When I was growing up, my mother had the Bible that he carried in his battle dress pocket at Passchendaele. It had a bullet hole right through it. The story we told in my family was that a bullet had hit him in the chest, and that whilst the Bible took the impact, it was actually the cigarette case behind it that saved his life. Granddad, we said, had been rescued not by virtue, but by vice. Only very recently did I find out that I'd got that wrong. A cousin wrote to me and enclosed a slip of paper that his aunt, my grandfather's sister, had kept safe. It was a short, handwritten message in blue pencil. Harry was captured at Passchendaele, and writing from prisoner of war camp to tell the family that he was safe. And he explained that he had, in fact, been shot twice in two different pockets. The Bible had stopped one bullet, and the cigarette case had stopped the other. We'd misremembered and not done the man justice, really. Grandad, like so many others, wouldn't speak about the First World War, and as he grew old, he became a very isolated figure. We didn't know him as we should, and I suspect that he didn't feel entirely known. We have to work at remembrance, and we really do need to do that. Today, of course, the remembrance is rich and it's complicated. Anzac isn't just about the 25th of April. That's also been explained to us. Events at Gallipoli are only part of the story today. This is a day when we remember those who died there, but also those who died in so many conflicts since. The Australian historian of Anzac, Patsy Adams-Smith, a woman who was deeply committed to remembrance, talked about the way that memory shapes a people, shapes a culture. She wrote, "The finger post of our youth was that lexicon of names, that rosary that began with Gallipoli, Sarrybert, Lone Pine, and went on with Fromelles, Amiens, Passchendaele." Her rosary, that list of names, has grown a lot longer since then. What High Commissioners and so many others did first thing this morning, at Memorial and then at Cenotaph, was to remember not just bravery and bloodshed, and not just a very long list of battle honours, but also the way two young nations took their place on the world stage in 1915. They remembered how men and women came to understand loyalty as something more than just your family, your friends, your village, your town. Patsy Adams-Smith remembered the map on the schoolroom wall, the dominions of the British Empire painted over in red, and she remembered the sense of belonging to that. So she called the Gallipoli Peninsula the forging place of a nation. It was, she wrote, Australia's shrine, her Westminster, the cradle of her traditions, the tomb of her princes. Now that's quite a claim, and it's what makes this day so special. Coming here, coming to Westminster, coming to the Abbey, all of us enter a house of memory. We stand inside a very long story. It's 1,000 years and more in this abbey. And some of the memorials around you you'll recognise, and the names you'll know, and some of them, frankly, you will not know. But you come here, I come here, to know that we are part of this story. It's ours. And that's what happened for Anzac so long ago. After Gallipoli, the story they told was the long story, not just the one about their home and their parents, but about the wide world and all its joys and all its terrors. So here in Westminster this afternoon, surrounded by the tombs of princes and long history, we try to remember and we try to imagine the loyalties that can take us into war or summon us into peace. We know remembering is difficult, but we know that remembering helps us know who we are and know who we should be. And to help us today, we have the Book of Revelation, which the Australian High Commissioner has just read. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. It's wonderful stuff. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. What a vision that is. But honestly, Revelation is a complicated and slightly alarming book. It's painted in primary colours. It has nightmare scenes, and you can feel as though the writer barely has the words that he needs. It's hard to remember. It's actually also very hard to describe the future. But there are perhaps two big ideas that the Book of Revelation wants us to get hold of. We should be known, not forgotten, and we belong together, not apart. We should be known, not forgotten, we belong together, not apart. This book is a glimpse of the future. It's an attempt to find words for our hope. I saw a new heaven, I saw a new earth. And the really interesting thing about that new heaven and new earth is that it looks familiar. It's a place we already know, because I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. You get to the future and you find, to your surprise, that it's a place you've been before. You find that you belong. That's why remembrance matters. Why it matters that I tell the truth about Harry Ashworth. Why we tell the truth about Gallipoli or Gaza or Ukraine. We do it because we build our future out of our past. We all of us need to find our place. We do it because we need to be known, not forgotten. Under God, nothing is lost, nothing wasted, everything's gathered in, and we will come to a place where we are known and not forgotten. All of us, known, not forgotten. And then we come to a place where we must be together and not apart. The place we come to is that city, Jerusalem, and a city is a place where people live together, a lot of them. Honestly, it's an idea that I struggle with a bit sometimes. I'm an only child. When I get to heaven, I want my own room. I want a study and some books, and I want an ensuite. But that's not the vision in the Book of Revelation. And it's not the vision that Australians and New Zealanders had in 1915. Our future, our hope, lies together. Our future lies in others. Because we're saved together, or we're not saved at all. Anzacs knew that. And so, in fact, did Mustafa Kemal Ataturk, who found those really famous words, which we will hear later, for the memorial at Aribernu. We belong together, we don't belong apart. Our salvation, our redemption, in a world riven with violence, in a discourse riddled with hate, and in the midst of so many sundered relationships, is to remember and to hope. Those two duties. We believe we should be known, not forgotten. We believe we belong together, not apart. And we learned that, all of us, at Gallipoli. We keep being reminded, and we look to that city where we will know and where we will be known, the new heaven and the new earth, where God will dwell with us and we will finally be his people.